Your speaker is Claude Farr.
Good to see such a good group of people here this morning. It's always a pleasure to have the opportunity to sing God's praises and to worship Him. Had a good Bible class. I've known Don for quite a few years, but I never had heard him teach a class before, and I was kind of impressed. In fact, I continue here to be impressed with the, I guess we'd say, the depth of our talent, using the way they were referred to, maybe a sports team. You know, the bench is really, really deep, and we have quite a few good Bible class teachers, and we found out this morning we have one more. This morning I'll be talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, and we'll be looking at a passage in the book of Matthew, which was in your Bible reading for the congregation this past week. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 16, the story is found in verses 6 through verse 12. And I want to read those verses, and then we'll be commenting about them. Matthew chapter 16, and I'll begin reading in verse 6. This is a warning that Jesus offered to His disciples. Then Jesus said unto them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." Which, when Jesus perceived, He said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember, the 5 loaves and the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Then understood they how that He bid them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So Jesus uttered this warning to the disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. They at first were puzzled about His meaning. They thought, well, maybe we've not brought any food or any bread with us, and that's the concern here. And Jesus reminded them about the 5,000 that He had fed on one occasion with a very small amount of food, and then the 4,000 on another occasion, in which they actually took up more in both occasions. Much more of the fragments were taken up than they had to start with. And so, obviously, why would Jesus be concerned about food or about bread if He was able to do that? And then they understood what He meant. He wasn't talking about the leaven of bread. He was simply using that as an illustration. He was really talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And we want to kind of look at that text this morning and just maybe first of all raise the question, how did it come to be that there were Pharisees and Sadducees in Jesus' day? If you read the Old Testament, beginning in Genesis 1, verse 1, all the way through Malachi chapter 4, I believe the 6th verse is the last verse there in the Old Testament. But if you've read the entire Old Testament, you have not read about Pharisees and about Sadducees, because it's not there. How came there to be Pharisees and Sadducees in the Jewish religion in Jesus' day? Well, first of all, we might want to just say, ask, who are they? What is a Pharisee in Jesus' day? Or a Sadducee? Well, the nearest thing, I guess, that we could think of in terms of the day would be somewhat like the various denominations within the Christian world today. They were not exactly parallel to the denominational world of our day, but there were Jewish sects or divisions of the Jewish religion. And they each had their emphasis. The Pharisees believed very much in the Bible, their Bible, the Old Testament. But at the same time, they held to traditions. The many traditions that had grown up in the Jewish religion through the years. And those who held firmly to their Bible and at the same time held firmly to their traditions, they were Pharisees. And that was a group, a strong, powerful religious group in Jesus' day. The Sadducees, on the other hand, they held to the Bible too, that is the Old Testament too, particularly to the Torah, the books of the law, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. They had much more regard for that than for the rest of the Old Testament. But they held to those in a, what we might say, in a very loose way, not too strictly. And they were not concerned about the traditions that had grown up through the years among the Jews, but what they were concerned about was the modern culture. They wanted to be contemporary. And they were interested in the Roman and the Greek culture, and they tried to bend the Jewish religion to fit the culture of the day. And so there were two different groups, and of course they were in conflict often with each other. But within Judaism, there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So how is it then that you get a Pharisee? Well, you just take the Bible, their Bible of the Old Testament, and you add to that the accumulation of human traditions that they had accumulated through the centuries. And that made a Pharisee. How do you get a Sadducee? Well, you take the same Bible, the same Old Testament, but not so strictly as the Pharisees did. And you add to that whatever the contemporary culture is of their day. And you try to cater not to old traditions, but to the modern culture. And that way you became a Sadducee. And Jesus is teaching a very vital lesson to the disciples when he said to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And of course, obviously, since Jesus used it, we would expect it to be this, but it was an excellent illustration. Because we understand how leaven or yeast is probably what we would refer to it more today, but we understand how leaven or yeast works. You take a lump of dough. And there it is, it's dough. And then you take the leaven or the yeast and you put it in the dough and you work that. And when you get through, what do you have? You have dough, but it's different. It'll rise. It is the same thing in one sense, but then it's a little different because a new element has been inserted into it, and it makes it just a little different from what the original dough was. And what Jesus is saying is that when you take God's law of the Old Testament, the true blue Jewish religion as God revealed it, and you mix in with that the traditions and the doctrines and the teachings of the Pharisees, you still have, well, you might say the Jewish religion, but it's a little bit different. It has been affected and somewhat changed by the traditions of the Pharisees, by their doctrine. Or you take the same Old Testament and instead of the Pharisees' traditions, you mix in with that the Sadducees and their teachings about let's conform to contemporary culture. And you still have Jews and the Jewish religion, but it's not exactly as God envisioned it to be. It's a little different because it's been affected. So just as leaven can affect the dough, and it's still, well, it's dough, but it's different. It's not really the same thing exactly. It's been changed. So when you insert the traditions of men or the contemporary culture, and you mix that with God's religion, as revealed in the Bible, then you sort of have what God had in mind, but it's different. It's been changed, just as leaven can change the dough. And so Jesus warned against that, and he said to the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's teaching us a very important lesson. And of course, it's not hard for us to see the modern parallel. We live in a world of Christendom, in which they're not simply two groups like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but they're, well, hundreds of different denominations in the religious world. They all hold to the Bible, some in a very strict way, and some in a very loose way. But all the churches within Christendom claim the Bible in one way or another. But why is it if they all stand upon the same Bible, why is it there's so many differences within the religious world? Well, it's the leaven. That's what it is. It's the leaven. How do you have a particular denomination? Well, here's how. You take the Bible. And Christianity as it is revealed in the Scriptures. And then you take the few particular tenets of that denomination, which are not in the Bible, those few particular teachings of theirs, and you insert it with them and you mix it. And what do you have? Well, you have what looks an awful lot like Christianity, but it's not the pure, simple Christianity, the original Christianity that you have in the Scriptures. You have that particular denomination. Well, how do you have a different denomination from that one? Well, you do the same thing. You take the Bible, and there you have Christianity revealed as God and Christ would have it, and you take the particular tenets or peculiar doctrines of that particular denomination or that particular creed, and you insert it and you mix the two together, and you have what looks very much like Christianity, but it's not exactly the original. It's been been affected by the leaven. The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees with regard to the Jewish religion of the Old Testament, or the leaven of modern man as it affects the Christian religion and changes it a little bit from what Jesus Christ had in mind when He established the church. And so Jesus, as He offers this warning to the disciples, is teaching us a most important principle. And that principle is that we're to stick with the true, simple, original doctrine as taught in our Scriptures. That we're not to have any of the leaven of men. That is, any of the doctrines, traditions, or cultures of men to come in any way and affect that pure, simple, original Christianity as Jesus taught it. And as we look at this passage, it teaches us that we need to really, in our world today, take a second look at the importance of doctrine. Jesus is given the severe warning not to be affected by the doctrines of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. We're to stay strictly with the pure doctrine as taught us in the Scriptures. And this is not the only place that we have that emphasis in the Bible. So I thought it might be good just to kind of thumb through the New Testament and notice the great emphasis on the importance of keeping purity of doctrine in our teachings, in our lives, in the church. Flip back a page, if you're open there still in the book of Matthew. Flip back to chapter 15 and let me read verses 7 through 9. Again, this is Jesus speaking. He's talking to the Pharisees and He says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying," and here's what the prophet Isaiah said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now Jesus is talking about a people who with their mouth, with their lips, they honored God. But He says that their heart is not really right. Now, we might at first kind of wonder, well, what do you mean your heart? How do you know the heart is not right? Well, Jesus doesn't leave us in the dark. He says it is because instead of teaching His pure teachings, the pure teachings of God, they're holding to the doctrines and the commandments of men. And that's just one other occasion now in which Jesus emphasized that it is important that we stay strictly with the doctrine as it has been presented to us in the Scriptures. The reason for such an emphasis on this morning is because we live in a world in which doctrine is not considered all that important. We live in a world that if a person is sincere in his heart, really wants to, he's sincere and honest, and he's really living basically a good life, then that's okay, even if he does get the doctrine and the teaching wrong on certain areas. And that's the general view of religion, at least, in our world today. And so that's why we want to notice the great emphasis that Jesus placed on doctrine. But I was thinking about this and thinking about the importance of doctrine. We recognize how important it is in every area of life except religion. For example, in the world of medicine. You know, when you have a doctor, you'd kind of like to have a doctor that is caring and concerned about your condition. But you don't want a doctor who is very, very caring, but he has his medical facts mixed up. You want him to get the doctrine right. You would think in terms of a lawyer. Now, you want a lawyer who really is interested in justice. But you don't want a lawyer that's interested in justice but doesn't really know the law. If you're in a ball game, you want a referee. And certainly we would like for a referee, I mean, in our sports events, we certainly would like for them to be fair. But then we want them to know the rules, too. And those are just a few simple areas in life, and you could go on and on with illustrations of that, have that in about everything except religion. We recognize the importance of getting the doctrine right. Not just be sincere in your heart, but get the doctrine right. But Jesus is saying that in religion that is true too. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, when the church first began on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it tells us in commending the good things about the church then, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Again, the emphasis on doctrine. And then flip over a little further to the book of Romans, if you would like. We'll look at two or three more passages that emphasize this. The last chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 16, and verse 17 and 18. Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Paul is giving a warning about divisions, contrary, he says, to the doctrine, the basic doctrine. And he says that people who are teaching these doctrines that are not found in the Scriptures, that they're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They use fair speeches and they use good words. But if they're not teaching the true doctrine of Christ, then they're not really serving God in Christ. And then flip over a little bit further to the book of 1 Timothy. There are many, many passages, and we're just noticing a few of them. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, Paul is writing to Timothy, a young preacher, and he says this, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Stay with the doctrine. Teach no other doctrine. And then if you'll just turn the page to chapter 4, verse 16, he says again, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Again, the emphasis is on the doctrine. And beholding to it, Timothy, you'll save yourself, and you'll also save those who hear you preach and teach, if you stick with the true doctrine. And then go a little further over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 13, verse 8. "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." And if you wonder why he emphasizes that, the next verse tells us. Why is he trying to say that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Why is he trying to tell us? Well, the next verse, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines." In other words, Jesus was the same when he was here on earth teaching. He's the same now in his teaching, and he will always be the same in his teaching. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't come along, or don't let anyone come along with any strange or different doctrine and lead you astray or cause you to follow it. Then turn on a little further to the little book of 2 John. 2 John, just one chapter, verse 9. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." If you don't stick to the true doctrine of Christ as revealed in the Scriptures, you don't have God. If you do, you have God. Doctrine is important. And then one last verse or passage, Revelation chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 to the church at Pergamos, he says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate." There were those in that church that held on to the doctrine of Balaam. There were also those in that church that held on to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. We're not told exactly what that doctrine of the Nicolaitans is, but it was different from Christianity. And Jesus says, that's a doctrine that I hate. And of course, there are many other passages, and that'll be all that we'll look at this morning. There are many other passages in the New Testament that emphasize the same thing that Jesus is trying to say when he said to the disciples, "Beware of the leaven." That is, of any doctrine that is not taught in the Scripture, beware of it, that it not be mixed in with the true teachings. Because just as leaven in the dough leaves it about the same but makes it different, so doctrines outside of the Bible put inside Christianity makes it look about like the same thing but a little bit different. And Jesus uttered a severe warning against the leaven or the doctrine and the commandments of men. Now with that in front of us, we might just look at ourselves for just a minute. And there are two things that I want to point out with regard to us here at the North Main Street Church of Christ. First of all, I'd like to point out that this very principle that I'm talking about explains a lot about us. It explains, for example, some things that we don't do. We do not practice here infant baptism, as is practiced in many different churches throughout the religious world. Why is that? Well, it's because infant baptism is not found in the New Testament. It's not found in God's Word. And so it is a leaven or a doctrine outside the Word of God, and we do not bring in the leaven, the doctrines of men, and start practicing and teaching those things. So we do not baptize them. We do not, as some churches do, we do not practice sprinkling instead of immersion. Now the Bible says very clear, buried with him in baptism. But some years after the close of the New Testament, men began to say that they began to think that instead of actually burying a person in the waters of baptism, as is taught in the Scriptures, it would be just fine just to sprinkle some water upon them. You know, I've thought about this through the years, and I've baptized some people, and I've seen people come up out of the waters of baptism. When I baptize them or somebody else, I've seen them come up kind of sputtering and, you know, and a number of things. Sometimes we don't come up too gracefully looking. But you know, if you were to, instead of doing that, if you had somebody just to come forward and kind of kneel down, and then you took just a little bit of water and you kind of sprinkle, you could make a much prettier service. Much prettier. It could be very impressive, you know, instead of the way it is with all the splash in the water. But what's wrong with that? Well, it might look good to us, but that would be the leaven of men, the doctrine of men. That's not the way it's taught in the Scriptures, so we don't do it that way. One of the things that's really different about us than most of the rest of the religious world is that our singing is a cappella. That is, we do not use instruments of music. Now, in the Old Testament, under the Jewish law, they did use instruments of music. You read a lot about that in the book of Psalms. They used instruments of music. But when you leave the Old Testament, the Jewish religion, and you cross over into the New Testament, the Christian religion, you find that the New Testament is silent as the tomb with regard to using instruments of music in worship to God among Christians. Some years after Christianity had been in the world, a century or two later down the road, men began to think that, you know, instruments would be nice. The Jews use it. All the pagan religions use it. Why can't we bring an instrument in and use it too? And so, at first, of course, there was a lot of opposition, but gradually the use of instruments, that's the leaven of men. Not in the New Testament. That's the doctrine or the leaven of men to bring instrumental music in. Another thing, we as a congregation are autonomous. What that means is, there's no denominational network that we're tied to. Now, we know where our other congregations are, but we don't have any headquarters. You can't go to any city in the world and say, that's the headquarters of the Church of Christ. We don't send delegates there to vote on issues. The reason is that that's not in the New Testament. Again, that's the leaven. That's the doctrines and commandments of men. And so there are probably other things that we could mention, but that will do just to show that one of the things that make us different from other people is that we take Jesus very seriously when he says, beware of the doctrines, the commandments, or the leaven of men. Beware. And that's the reason in the religious controversy that's so rampant in our world today, between those that want to hold to traditions and those that want to leave the traditions and hold to that which is contemporary and follow the culture. We're not in that controversy. Because we don't advocate the traditions of men. We don't want that, and we don't advocate contemporary culture. We want to go with the pure, simple, original Christianity. That's why we're different in certain areas, as we pointed out, from other people. That's the first thing. That kind of explains who we are. There's a second thing. Be warned, let's don't develop our own traditions. Let's don't develop our own doctrines, our own leaven. We always have to be on the lookout for that. Human beings, it seems to be human nature, as the history of the world demonstrates, it seems to be human nature to want to not only stay with the simple teachings of the New Testament, but pick up things from the culture or from tradition and add those things to Christianity. And so while we say at this point, the fact that we do not do that makes us distinctive, but at the same time, be warned, because we might do it if we're not careful. Make sure that we stick strictly to the New Testament, to Christianity as taught by Christ and His apostles. We do not want the leaven of the Pharisees or the Sadducees of Jesus' day, and we don't want the leaven of the modern culture or the traditions of men that have been passed down. We want to stay with pure, simple Christianity. And you know, as we sing the invitation hymn at this time, we're asking you just to follow the pure, simple Christian message. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Or the Apostle Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost."